You'll see in verse 31 there that the Lord Jesus said something to Peter that he might well have to say to us at times, even in the place of prayer. The Lord caught Peter and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you not believe? That's really the sense of these words. O thou of little faith, why did you not believe? Why are you so filled with doubt? I want to speak simply on the matter of faith. And the first thing that we see here in regard to Peter is faith's good intentions. Faith's good intentions. Peter had a desire that was very commendable. Peter had a desire that we all ought to have, which was to be close to Christ. And the Bible tells us here in verse 28 that Peter answered the Lord, and he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And the next verse tells us that he actually did walk on the water to go to Jesus. Peter, who was a man of faith, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, because the words that are important for us to note are, O thou of little faith. He was a man of some faith. And that faith had good intentions. He wanted to be close to the Lord Jesus. That was Peter's desire, and it ought to be our own desire. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the Lord has called us unto fellowship with Christ. And it's going to be a desire that we have, if we're truly saved, to want to be with him and to be close to him, to have fellowship with him, and to be where he is. In Peter's case, he wanted to put his desire into action. And faith does go into action. It always does. And what Peter did was to get out of the ship. He wanted fellowship with Christ, and he wanted to get near to the Lord, and so he got out of the ship. You might say he left the comfortable position that he was in to go into a far less comfortable position, because the Lord was walking on the water. And generally speaking, we can say men don't walk on water. One time when I was in Canada, I was beside a lovely lake. But it was the winter time, and that lake was frozen over. It's called Lake Louise. And it's a very beautiful sight, summer or winter. But it's a lot easier to walk over it in the winter than it is in the summer, because it's frozen. So I walked on water, but really I didn't. I walked on frozen ice. That's the only way that men walk on water, usually. Isn't that right? That's the only way that they can do that. And apparently there are big trucks that can drive over the ice up north. Ice truckers, they call them, the drivers. But men don't walk on water, except here, the Lord Jesus was walking on the water. He really did walk on water. Don't listen to those people who will tell you, well, that didn't really happen. Matthew and those others who talk about this, they thought he was walking on water, but actually it was very, very shallow water, and underneath there was a sandbank. That's what the ungodly, atheistic types will tell you. That's what modernists will tell you. That's what those who go through the Bible and don't believe in the miracles will tell you. But the Bible is what I believe, and the Bible says that the Lord Jesus walked on the water. And the Bible also says that Peter walked on the water. Now you tell me that Peter had no faith when he was willing to get out of that boat and to walk on the water to go to Jesus. Oh, he had faith. He had more faith than a lot of believers would have had in his position. He wanted to be with Christ. He wanted to get near to the Lord. And in doing that, he was prepared to do, I might say, what other disciples were not prepared to do. Not all Christians are the same, sadly. And in the case of Peter, he walked on the water to go to Jesus, verse 29 records. But it doesn't tell you that about any of the other disciples. None of the rest of them got out of the boat to walk on the water to go to Jesus. Sometimes commentators and even preachers are hard on Peter. Sometimes preachers will condemn Peter and will speak of Peter disparagingly. But I want you to know that those preachers, just like those other disciples, if they'd been in that boat, it's highly unlikely that they would have walked in the water to go to Jesus. Let's not be too hard on Peter. Peter was a man of faith. And faith does produce extraordinary actions. Peter walked on the water. There's no telling what faith will enable us to do. I don't know if you've ever read much or any of the life of George Mueller of Bristol. But George Mueller was a man of tremendous faith. He believed God about things and was able to trust God for things that others in a similar position might not have done. Peter walked on the water. That was the result of his faith. Someone said, no man ever stepped out in faith without seeing results for that faith. And we learn that from one of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, Abraham. Here's what the Bible says about him. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. You see, Abraham didn't wait to find out what God's will was as far as the place was concerned. He just obeyed God's call. The Lord said, Abraham, I want you to go out and I want you to trust me because I'm not going to tell you yet where you're going. Abraham didn't say, as some might have said, oh, well, wait a minute, Lord, I want to know where I'm going first before I agree to do it. No, Abraham obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He did that by faith. You see, faith always produces extraordinary actions. But we're talking here about faith's good intentions. And Peter certainly started out with very good intentions. But from faith's good intentions, I want us to think about faith's great weakness. In the case of Peter, his faith was weak. It wasn't strong faith. And there is no doubt that faith at best is often very weak. We experience that in our own lives, don't we? At times we trust God's promise, we believe God's word, and at other times we're full of unbelief. We fail to trust. And the reality is that we can fall from a position that we have once held. We can fall from where we have been, even in regard to our faith, even in regard to our trust in the Lord. There are times when we can find ourselves not trusting almost at all, whereas at other times we've trusted a lot. Think about prayer, and that's relevant to tonight. Starting out in believing prayer, we can falter. We have a promise from God about a particular situation and we hold on to that and we're standing upon it and we're pleading it before God and we're pleading it with fervency and with great faith and we believe that the Lord is definitely going to do this. And then, after a while, when it doesn't happen, we begin to wane. And we begin to falter and we begin to fall in faith. Sometimes in our Christian lives, we're like a toddler beginning to walk. You'll remember that with your children when they were little. It's quite funny to watch wee ones when they're starting out walking, because they take those little first faltering steps and then sometimes they'll end up on their backside, and thankfully there's that padding there to break their fall. It's fun to watch when they take those little baby steps. And a child that's starting to walk often has great joy at the first step. And you'll see that all over their faces. And they're all excited because they realize that they can walk. And then, boom, down they go. And then they become afraid. And then they start holding on to things. Right? Because they're afraid that if they take another few steps, they're actually going to fall. And that's the way we are in our Christian lives. Sometimes we take that first step in faith and then the fear sets in and we're afraid of a fall and we start looking for something to hold on to. And sometimes what we're looking to hold on to is not the Lord and it's not His promise. Peter did very well here. Let's be honest. The Bible says that he asked the Lord, "Lord, if it be Thou," verse 28, "bid me come unto Thee on the water." Lord, if it's You, if it's really You, I want You to call me to come to You on the water. And He said, "Come," verse 29. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So far, so good. He's taking the step like a child beginning to walk. But then he took his eyes off the Lord and the fear set in. Starting out well, we can falter. Is it not interesting that in verse 27, the Lord actually gave the command to all the disciples, including Peter, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." But look at verse 30. "But when he," Peter, "saw the wind boisterous," it means it was strong, "he was afraid." The very thing that Jesus told him not to do, to be afraid. He was afraid. Starting out well, we can falter. That's not only true of prayer, it's true of our entire Christian lives. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" You didn't keep running well. Something happened. Galatians 5 verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now let's notice where faith's great weakness is concerned, that the Lord did not excuse that weakness. The Lord didn't say, "Well, that's all right, Peter, if you don't believe. It's all right if you're lacking faith." No, He didn't. He didn't excuse it. In fact, in verse 31, He caught him and He said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" That is really a rebuke. That was a rebuke for Peter. And sometimes that same rebuke would be leveled at us. Faith's great weakness. And yet Peter recognized his failure and he cried out to the Lord. In verse 30 we read, "Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." I think it's an interesting fact that though the Lord rebuked his littleness of faith, yet that was in response to a prayer of faith. Because he said, "Lord, save me." Peter recognized his failure and he cried out to the Lord. And you'll notice that he didn't cry out to the other disciples. He didn't say, "You fellas in the ship, help me." No, he didn't do that. He cried out to the Lord alone. And is it not the case that too often we look to others, even to other Christians or other sources of help that we think we can run to? The Bible says, "Vain is the help of man." And we must learn that lesson, that when we're needing help, while it's all very well to speak with friends and counselors and seek the help of others in certain circumstances, most of all we need to cry out to the Lord alone, first and foremost. And certainly we must cry out to the Lord in our lack of faith. Call upon Him even in your weakness of faith. Sometimes we're lacking in faith. We don't have the faith that we should have. We would need to pray, Lord, increase our faith. But the great thing is that we can still call upon Him even in our weakness of faith. Let me show you what it says in Mark chapter 9, in verse 24. In response to the words of Jesus, when He said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth," straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." There's a number of things that we could say about this portion in Mark chapter 9. Here's a father. His son was in great need, and the father needed help. And the Lord said, if you can believe, if you can have faith, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the father began to cry. He was weeping. And he said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." You say that's a contradiction. No, it's not a contradiction. It's the great conundrum that the child of God has to deal with all the time. It's that contradiction that makes up the character of the Christian. We are believers, but at the same time, we recognize our unbelieving character. We recognize that, don't we, when we pray? I know I do. A lot of times I say, in answer to the question that comes to my heart, are you really a believer at all? Well, yes, I am. I do trust in Christ. I do believe that He's my Savior. I am looking to Him. But at the same time, I understand that I'm full of unbelief. Even as I pray and ask the Lord for things, even when I have God's promise for it, I still find the motions of unbelief in my heart saying, I know the Bible says that, but it's not so. I know that God has said this, but it really isn't true. And if it's true for other people, it's not true for you. That's what we find within ourselves quite often when we come to the place of prayer. We're unbelieving believers. And yet, with all of that being true, we need to cry out to the Lord in our lack of faith. Because when you think of this man in Mark chapter 9, even though he admitted that he was full of unbelief, he asked the Lord to help him with it. What do we do when we're lacking in faith? Do we say, well, I can't pray because I'm lacking in faith, I just won't pray? No, when we're lacking in faith and we feel that we're not trusting, we take that to the Lord. We bring that to the Lord and say, Lord, help my unbelief. I know I'm an unbelieving believer. Lord, I believe and I want to believe. But help thou mine unbelief. Help me with my lack of faith. There has to be, at all times in the life of the Christian, an utter dependence upon the Lord alone. We must look to Him, even when we feel that we're not really looking to Him because we're lacking in faith. Someone said it like this: when you are lacking the faith of assurance, you must exercise the faith of adherence. In other words, you have to cling to the Lord. Keep clinging to Him. Keep clinging to His word. Keep clinging to His promise, and the Lord will help you. In Psalm 73, verse 25, the man of God prayed, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee." Here's an utter dependence upon the Lord alone. The thing about Peter that we note in this portion is that even in his unbelief, there was still a pathway to the Lord for him. Even in his unbelief. And the Lord didn't deny his unbelief. The Lord didn't skirt around Peter's unbelief. The Lord faced him up with it. The Lord said to him in verse 31, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Why did you not believe, Peter? The Lord didn't in any way sugarcoat the pill. But yet, at the same time, he was communicating with Peter, wasn't he? He was answering his prayer. Because Peter had said, "Lord, save me." Even though he said that in unbelief, Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. There was still a path to the Lord for Peter. We can still cry out to the Lord amid our doubts and fears and get the Lord's help. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. God answered the cry of Peter, and he answered that cry immediately, and that brings me to the third and final point, which is faith's glorious reward. Verse 31. Immediately. Right away, that means. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. The Lord delivered Peter. He extricated him from that dangerous situation. There was an answer. There was intervention on Peter's behalf. And I want to stress again the words of verse 31. Jesus didn't say to him, O thou of no faith. You'll notice that. The Lord didn't say, Peter, you haven't got any faith. No, he said, O thou of little faith. O thou of little faith. I'm sure Peter was very glad, and I would be very glad if the Lord were to say to me, O thou of little faith, rather than O thou of no faith. If you've got no faith, you're in big trouble. But even you may have little faith, and you need to pray the Lord will increase your faith. Yet the reality is that a simple prayer gets the answer. Lord, save me. That wasn't a big, long prayer. Peter didn't have to use an awful lot of words to get the Lord's attention. Verse 30 just records that he cried. And he said, Lord, save me. Very often a simple prayer is what gets the answer. It has rightly been said that brevity is born of urgency. Brevity is born of urgency. In other words, when you're up against it, you don't want to waste words. You don't need a whole lot of verbiage. You want to get to the point very quickly. If I want help from somebody and I need that help right away, I'm not going to use a lot of words to get that help. Lord, save me. That was it. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't speak more than three words in prayer. I think it's just illustrating the fact that a simple prayer and a very concise prayer can get the answer that it needs. And the important point here, when I'm talking about faith's glorious reward, is that God gets the glory for it. Look at verse 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I don't find these men all gathering round Peter and slapping him on the back and saying, Three cheers for Peter. Hip, hip, hooray for Peter. No. What they did was they began to worship the Savior. They that were in the ship, that's the disciples, verse 33 records, they came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You see, they could see the hand of the Lord here in making the wind to cease and the storm to go away. This was a remarkable thing, you know, because in verse 24, the Bible records that the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. It was bobbing up and down like a piece of cork, for the wind was contrary. They were in great difficulty. And you have to understand who these disciples were. Many of them were fishermen. That was their craft. That was their trade. They were used to storms. They were used to being in the midst of that sea whenever great tempests would boil up. So this must have been a mother of all storms. This must have been a really strong one in order for them to say that they were afraid. In verse 26, they were troubled. And the Lord dealt with that storm, because in verse 32, the Bible says, when they, that's he and Peter, were come into the ship, the wind
ceased.
And you know, the Lord can make the winds and the waves to cease in our lives. Sometimes there are storms that bubble up. There are things that happen that we could call contrary winds. I see that in verse 24, the description for the wind was contrary. You know what contrary is? It means when it's against you. The wind was contrary. The wind was against them. All the circumstances were conspiring against their safety. But the Lord dealt with that. And in our lives, the contrary winds, the things that appear to be against us, can be dealt with by the Lord. That's faith's glorious reward. When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. The Lord is able to say, "Peace be still," amid the storms in our lives. May we be people of faith. May the Lord increase our faith. I don't think in any way that this passage is teaching us that it's okay to have no faith. It's not teaching us that. Nor is it teaching us that it's okay to have little faith. Because the reality is that the Savior did rebuke Peter for his littleness of faith. But the point that I'm making is that even despite the littleness of faith, we can still look to one who will help us. And the Lord is able to increase our faith. And I do believe that in the recognition that he was the Son of God, in verse 33, their faith was increased. You see, that's what happened here. The Lord increased their faith by doing what he did in answer to Peter's somewhat faithless prayer. They came and worshipped. And they said, "Of a truth thou art the Son of God." They recognized who he was because of what had taken place. So the storm was worth it. The situation was well worth it in their case because they came out of it worshipping. They came out of it looking to the Lord in a way that they had not been looking to him before. And may the Lord do that for us. May we know what it is to have great faith, like others that the Lord Jesus talked about, the centurion and the one whose servant was sick, of whom the Lord said, "Great is thy faith," or, "I have not seen such great faith even in Israel." May the Lord make us to be people who are people of great faith for his honor and for his glory. Amen.